We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we're always sharing the success and the stories of entrepreneurship and the changing trends of business. Again, thank you to our friends over at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, who have been hosting us all week at the Prudential Center in lovely, reconstructed Boston, Massachusetts. And my co-host for this segment is Mark Furman, our litigation and the business reporter. Welcome, Mark.
Hi there, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Our next guest, thanks to Mark Furman, let's see if I can get my notes properly, is a returning guest. You've been on the show before.
I have. Yeah.
Jeffrey Norman, who's going to talk to us today about trends in shopping center leases and things like that, the whole real estate trends, correct, around that? So what's going on that's changing?
Just about everything is changing, quite honestly. But what I was particularly felt was important in terms of talking about today is the changing that you see and the differences that you see now in shopping center mix in terms of the, by mix I mean the tenants that are in the particular center or development. The nature of what's likely to be in a shopping center is much, much broader than it used to be perhaps even 10, 15 years ago. We have tenants that have moved into shopping centers that have been there perhaps in a shopping center now for 15 years or 12 years or whatever it is, and find that the center is entirely different from when they actually went in there.
In what ways?
In terms of who the tenants are, the very standard approach that you had perhaps going all the way through the end of the 20th century and so forth, that you had a supermarket, perhaps with a drugstore, and a couple of other major anchor tenants.
Chocolate shop, a hardware store.
And then
back more than 20 years ago, as a kid.
Then, right. And then a mix.
We may be back in the 50s now.
Maybe.
50s, there was a different mix in the 50s kind of thing.
But Woolworths.
But
hey, I was recruited by Woolworths after college. Yes, okay. They did college recruiting. That was my first.
And I still have, in fact, I still have some of the old, Almy's leases and even Bradley's leases, which are now have been assigned in bankruptcy, ad nauseum kind of thing. So those leases kind of still are out there. But in large part, who actually occupies the space tends to be very different. And you find that tenants are going into shopping centers where they expect the mix to remain, along certain lines, and that's what actually brings them in. A supermarket brings in certain kinds of tenants.
Right.
A
drugstore now.
May well be a drugstore now. Doesn't bring in, people don't go to the drugstore quite as often as they go to the supermarket and as regularly as they go to the supermarket. But you also have people who've moved into shopping centers that, which were, perhaps Target was the sort of anchor. And so certain kinds of stores, in particular, it's a tenant of mine that sells a lot of women's accessories and so forth. They favored Target as a sort of anchor tenant.
Right.
But Target isn't there anymore. And what's there now is a, right next to them, is a dialysis renal dialysis center, drawing an entirely different clientele and not quite the kind of tenant that they envisaged that was going to be next to them. So those issues, I think, when you're dealing with tenants and when you're dealing with tenants, which I do, who have multiple locations and so forth, where you are considering, you're doing the lease in some detail and you're considering exactly who is going to be in here and how it's going to work for me and so forth, those issues become very much more important, I think, in this day and age.
And you're aware of these trends because as a real estate lawyer, you spend a lot of your time dealing with commercial leases for with tenants in shopping centers.
Yeah, I deal with both landlords in their shopping centers. The landlords deal with a slightly different issue, and I'll come back to that. And then, of course, I deal with tenants. I have several tenants that are regional or national tenants, and you're dealing with them on a much larger scale. And they have the national tenants have a more difficult issue because they tend to go into even larger centers. I have a men's clothing store operator that the shopping center may well have three or four different anchors and so on. So the nature of a change in the center can be much more harmful to them because they're sitting in a area of the center now which they're surrounded by tenants that don't really have any draw for them.
Yes.
But talking on the landlord side.
Yes.
One of the things that you get as a landlord is tenants like to restrict the landlord from, you're sort of dealing with the other side of the coin, restrict the landlord from certain uses which they don't particularly want. Most of those uses are which you would normally define as obnoxious uses. Adult bookstores and video stores and issues like that. But there can also be restrictions that don't allow the landlord to lease the space for a health center, for example, a gymnasium, a health center. Don't allow the landlord to lease the space for any kind of office use. So those issues now for landlords are much more problematic because they don't have that many pure, genuine retail tenants approaching them. You know, if you go downstairs, even in where we are in the Prudential, and look at who's in the Prudential, there are a number of tenants.
This place is in major transition.
Yeah, there are a number of tenants that are really promotional. They're not really stores in the sense that they're expecting people to come in there and buy things. They're promotional, facilities.
Like Microsoft.
Microsoft is a perfect example. Tesla is they're not really expecting to sell a lot of stores. I mean, they sell a lot of cars out of.
And now they're going to have the famous Eataly moving in, which is probably the hottest food concept in the country.
Well, the nature of what they're doing obviously is changing, but the particular point that I'm making is that retail, the idea of retail is starting to shift.
Right.
And so Microsoft isn't, which Mark mentioned, isn't really interested in selling anything out of their Microsoft facility in the Prudential. What they're interested in is there are lots of people in the Prudential, there are conventions in the Prudential, there are all kinds of things going on, and people are going to come in and look at their products and buy them in some other form, online or at a different store or whatever it is. But it's used as a promotional tool. Whether that's a benefit to somebody that has a woman's dress store right next to the Microsoft facility is an argument, is a big question.
For me, when you put Tesla in the Prudential and you put Microsoft and then you put Eataly, if you're a one of those other retailers, you have that assumption that it's going to create some very high-end foot traffic, and that's going to help you do better as a result of it. I mean, that's really upscaled the whole concept of what it used to be. It's not just a regular drugstore or CVS going
the
in.
The nature of the, which actually is a valid point because it leads to another question. The nature of the what's changing in the Prudential, and the fact that the Prudential is moving more upmarket than it used to be. Used to be that Copley Place, which was the connection, was the upmarket, and Prudential was more sort of more general
pedestrian.
Pedestrian or general population. Now, Prudential is trying to follow the same marketing strategy.
And you have a lot of boutique malls that have sprung up around the city that have pulled away from, and I think what Prudential's trying to do is sort of go above all of them and draw people back into the center of the city.
Well, they're trying to do that, and they're trying to do a number of other things. I mean, the nature of who's in the Back Bay and who's in the South End and who's actually living in the city of Boston is also changing, and changing significantly. Boston's becoming a much more, in my mind, European city than...
The statistics bear that out.
Yeah, than it used to be. And so the downtown area, including the Back Bay and South End and so forth, are now becoming much wealthier parts of town.
I'll just say in support of what you're saying, have you been to an Eataly?
I have, actually.
Right, because if you've been to the one in Chicago, which I've been, or New York,
right,
I mean,
New York.
People clamor to get into these places, and it's creating a lot of foot traffic that's situational. It's not hanging around. It's moving in, moving out all day long, shopping, eating. It's quite an experience.
But to go back to my point, which I mean, all of this is valid, but to go back to my point is, if you're a middle-range men's clothing store, okay, is the Prudential still the place where you should
be? If you're selling $199 suits,
correct,
for example,
right,
and you're in the Prudential on a long-term lease, and the demographic has changed as in terms of what businesses are located here and what part of the market they cater to, you can end up as a tenant in a long-term lease in what's now an inappropriate location for your business.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like what you signed up for isn't necessarily what you ended up with.
Correct. Correct.
And I take it there's seldom lease opportunities in leases to protect oneself over a dramatic shift in how upscale a particular shopping center, becomes.
The answer to that is, up until very recently, I would say that's absolutely the case. But the national tenants are starting to think in those terms.
How would you protect a national tenant that is appealing to mid-market shoppers against the possibility of a shopping center going upscale during the term of the lease?
There are a number of ways that you can do this. Up until now, the sort of so-called co-tenancy clauses, which are essentially I move into a shopping center, I'm relying on the supermarket. If the supermarket goes out and isn't replaced by another supermarket, I have certain rights to pay less rent and perhaps even terminate.
Okay.
Those clauses are starting to change in nature. And instead of just talking about a supermarket, you're talking about the actual nature of the shopping center. And I'm moving into a center which has as a target as its main anchor store. That's very different from 5 years later finding out that Target is going out and Bloomingdale's is coming in. Okay, where the Bloomingdale's customer isn't my kind of customer at all. So you see those clauses in these leases as well.
Jeffrey, I think you bring up a very important point with the sort of changing dynamics of malls, the population, what you get into, what you get out of. If someone's interested in this whole concept of shopping centers and leasing and wants to speak with you, how would they find you?
The best way to find me, they can certainly call my office number, which is 617-218-2019. And also my email, which is gnorman, all one word, at tbhr-law.com.
I want to thank you for being on the show again today. I hope you come back again. This is your second visit.
I'd look forward to it, Jeff.
Great. And I want to thank our hosts and Mark Furman over at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, who have been hosting us all week. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.